SBS Audio is supported by advertising.
Momentum Energy is 100% owned by Hydro Tasmania, who in a single hour make enough renewable energy to fill 400,000 bathtubs with freshly popped popcorn, or spin 200 million disco balls all at once. Or for a power company backed by someone who can do all that, switch to Momentum Energy. 100%.
You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the SBS On The Money podcast for this Tuesday, the 24th of February 2026, a day where the Australian share market ended where it started. It was flat at 9,022. That's for the ASX 200. We'll have the details with Mike Jenica from UBS in a few moments because there were still quite a few profit results coming out and some deep AI concerns coming from the US. But first, how much money do you need for a comfortable retirement? Well, the Association of Superannuation Funds of Australia says to retire comfortably, singles retiring now need $630,000 in super, and it's $730,000 for couples. Both levels have risen for the first time in 3 years as inflation picks up and deeming rates rise, which makes it harder for some to access the pension. However, these figures only apply for those who own their home. What does a comfortable retirement mean? Well, it allows for top-level private health insurance, fast home internet, car ownership, home maintenance, some self-care, the occasional meal out, an annual domestic holiday, and one overseas trip every 7 years. So if you like to travel, you need more money. But to tell us more, Stephanie Youssef spoke with James Koval. He's the policy and advocacy head at ASFA.
So, James, the super target for a comfortable retirement has hit another record high. What's driving that sharp increase?
That's right. So today we've seen the amount needed for a comfortable retirement actually increase to the highest level that we've recorded. So for a single person wanting a comfortable retirement, we're sort of estimating that you'd need about $630,000 in your superannuation and about $730,000 for a couple. So that is an increase, and it's driven by two main factors. The first factor is the fact that a lot of costs that retirees tend to focus and spend their money on is actually increasing at a higher rate than inflation. Just as an example, we've seen the cost of electricity go up by a bit over 20%. Most outrageously, we're seeing the cost of coffee and tea going up by almost 15%. So there's like a lot of these types of costs that are increasing at a higher rate compared to overall inflation in the economy. A second factor is also the deeming rate, which is effectively the way that the government assesses your income and assets to see whether you're eligible for the age pension. For a lot of Australians who are retiring today, super plays a very big part in their retirement, but also the age pension is a key factor for a lot of people. This deeming rate in the pension has actually only been updated or increased twice since COVID, most recently last week. And what it effectively means is that a change in the deeming rate, an increase in the deeming rate, just makes it that little bit harder to be eligible for the age pension. And so that's why in the figures released today, the amount needed for a comfortable retirement has gone up.
But for people who don't own their home and are facing rising rents, how much more challenging is it to reach a comfortable retirement compared to homeowners?
It's definitely more of a challenge for those who are renting in retirement than for those who own their own home. Just as an example, for someone who is owning their own home in retirement, they're looking at spending about $51,000 a year if they're in a couple, compared to about $68,000 if they don't own their own home in retirement. It is still the case that many people who are retiring today do own their home outright, but it's fair to say that that is a trend that seems to be shifting in society. And so the retirement standard has been updated to include budgets for renters. And yes, it is a challenge for a lot of people because when we talk about rising costs, private rental costs are one of those factors that have gone up at a higher rate than general inflation. And that just creates greater pressure for those who might not already own their home outright. So it is a challenge.
That's Stephanie Youssef there speaking with James Koval from ASFA.
got to tell me about this.
See the breathtaking beauty of Australia with the man who knows it better than anyone else, Ernie Dingo.
Oh, my, amazing.
Going Places with Ernie Dingo. Stream free on SBS On Demand.
SBS is Australia's most trusted multilingual broadcaster. Our listeners are loyal, highly engaged, and have supported countless local businesses. We offer advertising packages for businesses of all sizes. Our experienced sales team will guide you through the process of owning a great campaign. Bring your own ad or have our production team make you something in one of our 68 languages. Start the conversation with your new audience today. Email sales@sbs.com.au.
Let's take a closer look at the Australian share market now, which did finish flat. The S&P ASX 200 at 9,022 today. Six of the 11 sectors ended higher. Energy the best, information technology the worst by far. Stocks like WiseTech Global down 3.7%, Xero losing 4.6%. It followed big falls in the US, particularly on the technology-based NASDAQ overnight, on fears of AI and how it'll impact some businesses. Financials also weighed. Insurance Australia Group down 3.3%, QBE off 1.6%. The banks lost ground, mostly ANZ down 0.7%, BHP doing well today, up 1.4%, but one of the best performers, Liontown, gaining 8.7%. It follows some profit reports out today as well, so for more on that and the rest of the day's market action, I spoke with Mike Jenica from UBS Wealth Management. Yeah. Mike, so tariff fears are back. We've got geopolitical issues, nerves about the impact of AI, and they contributed to a fall in shares in the US overnight and the local share market. How would you describe investor sentiment at the moment?
I would describe investor sentiment as mostly unchanged in relation to being exposed to key risk assets such as equities. I mean, the broad economic backdrop is positive, and tariff and geopolitical issues are not new. And that's leading to quite high-level stability in global equity returns. Where we're seeing a lot more change is at the industry level, where investor sentiment has clearly become more cautious on AI disruption risk. And then they're seeking more attractive opportunities in other industries that are leveraged to the economy and are less exposed to that type of disruption.
You mentioned AI, so can we follow up on that? We're seeing software shares tank recently. Today, financial services companies like Macquarie down significantly. How do you think investors are playing the AI game, given the potential impact on white-collar work and the companies they work for?
Investors are questioning where the risks are, asking very broad questions because service industries are such a large part of the economy. And they're reducing their exposure where there are potential concerns, because in a number of cases the capital allocations are significantly overweight, and so that process is leading to a bit of action first, and a tendency to rotate into capital into sectors which are less affected. So it's a function of waiting and it's a function of concern.
That rotation, as you mentioned, where is it going? Because it's coming out of the tech sector at the moment. A lot of those AI related software companies, or where the issues or the concerns are about AI impacting these software companies, where is that money going?
It's starting to flow into areas which are probably more sort of traditional asset-heavy industries. I'd cite the mining industry as a very good example. The economic backdrop is relatively constructive globally for commodity demand. You've got structural tightness in supply, and prices are rising. So that's certainly an area where there's a lot more capital. The sort of traditional industries that are exposed to the economic cycle also are attracting capital, not just mining. So those industries tend to be more goods producers and are less service intensive. and are therefore less risk of disruption and probably more beneficiaries of improved productivity through AI.
We're well and truly into reporting season. How would you rate it, and what are some of the standout reports that you've seen?
Our reporting season has been relatively positive this year. I mean, the Australian equity market is in a profit upswing. We've seen earnings being revised up from, say, 3% 6 months ago to 12% presently. And the reports that are coming through have generally been on the more positive side. So we've seen earnings beats versus earnings misses running at a 2-to-1 ratio in favour of beats over misses. And so that's been above historical averages and has started leading to sort of more upward pressure in terms of earnings revisions. Notable performers on the profit front, I'd cite the big four banks, who all recorded positive results above expectations. The gold mining sector is generating tremendous amounts of free cash flow. And the BHP result was also quite a positive surprise and highlights their very significant exposure to copper, which is rising relative to iron ore.
And finally, in wrapping up, what are you then telling your clients and where do you see the opportunities for investors?
We're advising our clients to remain fully invested in equities in line with their strategic risk tolerance. We are suggesting, though, that for clients that have large or overweight exposures to technology, that they look to recycle that back into a more diversified exposure. We have recently at UBS moved our outlook for technology from positive to neutral because there are some concerns around the impact of AI on a number of technology businesses. And the free cash generation from the spenders in AI is also relatively high. Maintaining a more diversified exposure by geography and by industry is our recommendation. Within Australia, we like those asset-heavy industries such as mining and energy and quality cyclical companies in the consumer discretionary and industrial sectors.
That's Mark Jenniker there from UBS Wealth Management, and he wraps up the podcast for this Tuesday. If you like it, give it a rating or review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Click subscribe.
This SBS On The Money podcast, it is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making